Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, hello, and welcome to Women Lead Radio. This is Cecile Beville, and I am the host for, typically we talk about diversity and inclusion. And our leading ladies today know a lot about diversity and inclusion. They are Lisa Frank and Brenda Casper. They're both attorneys, Casper and Frank, LLP. And they're going to be talking about bias in the workplace. Does it really exist? And we do know many of you might be in HR and in other areas in your workplace, but bias is everywhere in the workplace, outside of the workplace. It's everywhere. And what are the components of bias in the workplace? And who are the recipients of bias in the workplace? Well, that's what Lisa and Brenda are going to tell us. So Lisa and Brenda, welcome to Women Lead Radio.
Thank you. It's so great to be here with you this morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's so great to have you here. So let's talk about bias. What is it? Does it really exist? And what are some of the components? So who would like to start?
I'll start. This is Lisa. You know, I think bias really is kind of a predisposition, preconceived notions about something, which typically, you know, has a negative connotation, but really it doesn't have to be. It's really, we all have our own preconceived set of ideas. And I think, you know, there's bias in everything we do. It's inherent in everything we do. We all come to the table with our own ideas and mindsets, and being aware of that is really critical because it really informs how we view the world, how we view other people, and in the workplace, often how we treat other people. Even, you know, when we're interviewing someone, for example, our biases, you know, we might view someone in a certain way, you know, based on, you know, how we come to the table, and being aware of it really is critical to ensuring that we're not using first impressions to come up with kind of wrong ideas about people based on our background and preconceived ideas.
And this is Brenda. I think the other interesting question to ask is, what is the difference between bias, as Lisa is explaining it, and the law and unlawful? Because I think bias and certain types of bias being unlawful is where the workplace issues come into be.
And so before we get into that part of it, though, that's going to be exciting, who are the recipients? Are they groups of people? Are they individuals? And kind of how is it presented to them?
So I'll take that. This is Brenda. I think that I'm just going to take off what Lisa was saying about the definition of bias. I think at least in terms of in the workplace and what I see, and by the way, we only represent employers, and both Lisa and I have done that for nearly 20 years, I think you can have groups of individuals subjected to bias. So let's say the unlawful categories of people being treated differently based on a protected status, national origin, race, gender, et cetera. And disability too, I'll throw that out there. And then I think there are the individual bias as well, and individual bias might not be unlawful. It could just be, I don't like Lisa because Lisa, you know, watches the Packers, and I don't like the Packers, so therefore I don't like Lisa. So I think even that level, which she does not like the Packers that I know of, but that could be a bias that's not unlawful, right? We could have a personality conflict because of it, which could be troublesome in the workplace. But then we have the bigger picture unlawful bias that truly is more problematic.
And so, say we're in the workplace, or say I'm in the workplace, how would I know when bias is happening to me, and what should I do about it?
You know, I think it's interesting. Bias is really, you know, a view that it's in a person's mindset. It's in, and I think, you know, the acting out on it can be discrimination. And that's really, you know, bias versus discrimination, I think, are two different things. So I really do think, you know, is someone being treated differently in the workplace because of bias? I think it gets to kind of Brenda's point of, is it unlawful or is it unlawful? It may be that, you know, I like people who are like me in terms of my cultural upbringing. And so I tend to, you know, align with people who have my political views or who, you know, and that could be even
look
a,
like me.
Oh, right.
Like
who
me.
Look like me, who are short and very cute. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. So, I mean, there's certain types of biases there that can actually work in people's favor and, you know, that aren't unlawful, that aren't, you know, and then there are others of I only will hire people in the workplace or promote people in the workplace who are members of certain protected classes or who aren't in certain protected classes. And that would be discrimination. And, you know, I think we all need to be attuned to trying to treat all people in the workplace, you know, the same, regardless of any protected category. And if we find ourselves as decision makers, kind of weighing, you know, feeling drawn to certain people and not to other people, trying to examine within ourselves, you know, where is that coming from? Is this a real thing? You know, is this really objective based on the facts? Or am I, you know, is this because of some bias or prejudice that I may have for some reason?
If I may jump in too, I think one thing in the workplace that employees really struggle with is when an employee is told that her performance is not up to expectations, I think that's a hard conversation. And, you know, Cecile, I was just thinking about what you said. How do I know if I've been subjected to bias? I think getting a poor performance review for a lot of people will trigger a thought of bias. Because they may not like what they're hearing, number one. Number two, they might disagree with what they're hearing. So I do think, you know, as a supervisor manager, it's really important that when you are looking at performance issues, that you do everything you can to show that this is a consistent standard, we enforce it from everyone, and we have a really objective good faith belief that you're not meeting that standard, because that's a tough conversation, especially with people who don't want to hear it.
Yeah, and see, that's the key right there. There are people who don't want to hear it from both sides. The person
Correct.
Who thinks maybe they're being biased or being treated with the negative aspect, and the person that they go to say, I believe I'm being set up and there's bias going on, what are you going to do to correct it? Because it's two sides there. And I can remember a while back, because as you know me well, I'm a consultant and I work with businesses, a lot of small businesses. And I was considering working with a company, and the person said to me, well, it looks like we could do really well, so, but there's a question I have. And I said, okay, and it's and you ladies know, coming out, I thought, uh-oh, for some reason, I think I'm not going to like this question. And so the person said to me, well, you know, there's a lot of mixed races in companies today. And I said, yes. And they said, well, there are people who they have, like, they're some are part white or part black and all. And this person said, so what do you call them?
Always a troublesome question, isn't it? What do you call them, those people? That's such a troublesome way to set it up.
Right.
Okay, keep going. I'm worried.
Let's put our biases right out there.
Yes, and I was sitting there, so he knew what my color is, you know, and you know, it was an awareness that, you know, I don't think I want to work with this person who's head of a company that asks such a question.
Yeah.
And because I thought, you know, at some point it's going to be an issue, and I really didn't want to go there, so I chose not to.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so considered bias itself, if and when it's recognized to be bad and ugly and unacknowledged and all of these things. And so we'll talk, say, for example, I'm sure you probably have met someone who has complained about that. And, you know, a lot of it we know there's the two types of bias, conscious and unconscious. And sometimes they come together. And so how do you handle that?
Well, I'm just going to, let me throw this out there. As to conscious bias and unconscious. So I started practicing in 1997 in Wisconsin, and I was asked quite frequently, even by women, both by men and women, when I was a brand new lawyer, oh, you're really a lawyer, you really have your law license, huh? And there was a female HR person, and she was probably in her 50s. I think she was about to ask me to prove it up, right? Because what happened was I went in, it was a senior male lawyer's client. I went in, he introduced me, and then he left me with her in the conference room, and she was not prepared to deal with a 25-year-old female lawyer. So, I mean, I think, you know, me personally, I've certainly experienced bias in the workplace. And now that I'm older, I think I'm finally old enough, but I think now I have bias because I have younger people looking at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. Exactly. You don't understand what the real world is like. So I think each of us, regardless of where we come from, what our background is, probably have experienced bias. And I hope that that makes each of us, to Lisa's point, more aware of when we are doing it, because that's our obligation to not act in that way, to have some self-examination. And then I think, Cecile, it goes to the rest of what you're saying with unconscious. There's no doubt that some people don't have insight into themselves or others, and that, you know, is always going to be a struggle, I think, in the workplace. And I know Lisa and I spend our careers helping employers kind of on both sides of the fence, I think, with that. Some people have awareness that they have a workforce that has issues. Some people don't. And our job is to move the business forward for these people and fix these issues.
Right. And frequently, you know, a lot of issues that we deal with will involve, you know, talking to employers about potential terminations or discipline management. And it's always a question we ask of, you know, how have you handled this situation in the past,
yes,
if you've had other people who've engaged in this type of behavior? And that's kind of a way to check, are we treating this person differently for the same type of conduct for some reason? And, you know, kind of asking questions like that of our clients and of ourselves is really one way to elicit whether or not there might be something else going on. And it's an important part of any decision-making process to think about how we've treated other people who've engaged in similar behavior.
Yeah, which is so, it's such an interesting topic, because there are, and you mentioned it earlier, one of you mentioned it, saying that many times people think automatically it's discrimination.
Yep.
And that, and so many times, and I've dealt with it, where they'll say, but I'm a woman, and this is why they're treating me with bias or discrimination and all of those things. But as you, and you started saying it a little bit earlier, I think, is that there is a difference between bias and discrimination.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think bias really is sort of the mindset, you know, sort of our preconceived ideas and how we're grouping people and ideas and things, and then discrimination would be how we act out on those biases. So I think you can have bias, and
which
not
we
everyone,
do.
Right? There, we all have biases, and being aware of them and not acting upon them is really critical. Or, you know, if we are, think about how our biases might shape our behavior. But really, only, you know, if we're treating people differently because of our bias, based on a protected characteristic, would that be considered discrimination in the workplace?
Yes, and you know, I don't. Is it more today than it used to be?
You know, I think the answer is no to that. I think we're talking a lot more about these issues, which I think is critical. I think people are more educated about these issues as the law, you know, laws have been around a lot more. People are much more aware of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. I think we're seeing a lot more subtle discrimination, or and even, you know, on the harassment side of things, I do think it becomes, as time goes on, it maybe becomes a little bit more insidious, because what happens is a little bit more subtle and pervasive and hard to name. But I think it's really all, you know, probably similar. You know, I don't know, Brenda, what do you think?
No, I think Lisa's right, and I just can't help but say, and I think Lisa will agree, you know, the crazy political election that's going on right now, on the one hand, is creating issues in the workplace, right? Like Lisa's getting some calls. I'm getting some calls about employees repeating what they hear in the workplace and offending people.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of it, I really think that having a national dialogue, even though we're all polarized, a national dialogue about all of these issues cannot be bad, because it is an awareness issue, right? I mean, sexual harassment came about because of a public awareness due to Clarence Thomas. It was a national awareness, and people began to understand, oh, that's not okay, from that. I think
now we'll move into sexual assault is
right,
also not okay.
I think that the awareness I'm going to go on the side of, because otherwise I can't get out of bed on this Monday morning, I'm going to go on the side of, it's an awareness that will make things better, I hope. But it's a dialogue, you know? It's a dialogue.
It is, and that's the key, is not only is it the dialogue, but it's how you present dialogue.
Right.
You know, where someone, and we've all, and you know, that I handle those kinds of things too, as we've been talking, and all, but, you know, when someone comes forward and says, you know, I believe, you know, I'm being discriminated against, and ultimately what they're really saying as you talk to them is that it's bias they're talking about. And I think it's important for all of us who handle situations like that, and those of you who are calling on the phone, you may be an HR professional, it's how, what is it we're going to say to them? How are we going to make it better for them? And what do we suggest they do and we do? And those are major questions.
Right. I mean, I think anyone who has a concern in the workplace about being treated in a discriminatory manner or in a harassing manner should raise the issue to management, to human resources, and whoever receives that concern really should take it seriously and, you know, have an open discussion with them to find out why it is, you know, they believe that. And it may be that there is objective evidence that confirms their belief, and then the employer has to take appropriate action. And it may be that it really isn't, and someone just has, you know, often it may be, I feel like I've been treated differently, but it may just be that, you know, they don't know about other personnel actions that have been taken against other people, because in the workplace we often don't. I mean, it's really a matter of, you know, what is the concern, what's the evidence that substantiates it, if any, you know, and then taking it from there. But I think having an open mind and having people feel comfortable coming forward to raise concerns, you know, is really important in a modern workplace.
It's also a useful, people, companies, lots of them spend a lot of money and time on developing mission, vision, and values. And
yes.
I do have clients who will go back to values when they assess conduct. So even if you have conduct that shows bias that isn't unlawful, we still have clients who take action because it's, whatever happened is still inconsistent with the company values. Or it isn't, right? And so back to Lisa's point, the smart thing to do is assess the conduct in light of what's our culture, what do we expect, what do we tell people, and we don't have outliers. And I think that's a useful way to resolve issues.
Absolutely.
But it requires some self-searching.
Yeah.
Right. We're coming close to halfway, or a little over halfway. So what I'd like to ask you, and then we'll finish up the questions, is, could you give those who are calling in a way to reach you, maybe your email address or a phone number or a website address, so that following this discussion they may want to ask more questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is casperfrank.com, www.casperfrank.com. It's actually Casper with a K, K-A-S-P-E-R-F-R-A-N-K. And our emails are brenda@casperfrank.com and lisa@casperfrank.com.
Fantastic. Good. Is there a phone number?
Sure, 760-676-9450.
Okay. Well, you know, it's in listening to all of these things, do you do very much training to companies around bias, or is that included with discrimination and some of the other things in today's environment?
Yeah, so we actually do. Every employer in California with more than 50 employees has to do mandatory anti-harassment training for managers.
Right.
And we do that regularly. We also do employee training, and as part of that issue, we talk about what harassment is, what discrimination is. We talk about bullying and abusive conduct. And part of that, you know, some of these discussions really do involve, you know, examining our own internal biases.
And I, you know, the other kind of training we do is sort of equal employment opportunity training, which talks about what's the difference between equal opportunity and affirmative action and what are the concepts, right? Because at the end of the day, I think you've hit the nail on the head. The big picture reality is we all like to hang out with people like us, whatever that means, socioeconomic, size, to Lisa's point, tall or short. And so you have to recognize, wait, this is my preference. This is my safety zone. I'm going to get out of that because I might learn some interesting stuff from different people.
I've also done training, such as the bias training, with attorneys that are human resources, or those, they're general attorneys. And they have been kind of trying to research what bias is about and all. And one of the questions that I was asked was, can it be eradicated in the workplace? And how would that be handled? What might your responses be?
Well, I'm going to say no, because I'm going to go back to Lisa. Like, bias is innate in each of us. And bias might even help keep us alive. And I really mean that. Like, if you take bias down to, I'm going to stay away from XYZ that appears to me unsafe, whether it is or not, that might help keep you alive. So I don't think you're ever going to get rid of bias, but I do think you have to have, again, I'm parroting Lisa, awareness, recognition, understanding, and then a decent application so that you're not acting out a bias in an unlawful manner.
And when you want to eradicate something, it's so difficult anyway. Just that term of how people are going to make things work out the way it should. Have you ever noticed that it is being addressed to any particular gender or disability or age or ethnicity or anything along that line?
Okay, so I'm going to jump in again. Please, Lisa, argue with me if you want. I think the biggest, quote-unquote, bias that I see right now, even from well-meaning people, and I mean this, is probably bias regarding mental disability.
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay, I'll let you go, Lisa, if you have more details.
And I agree with you.
I mean, I think it really is, we see it a lot in our practice, and just, you know, kind of stereotypes about people, maybe who act a little bit differently in the workplace, and people think, oh my gosh, everyone's in danger, we need to terminate this person. And I think, you know, we really, as a culture, need to examine some of those stereotypes we have.
Because they're rooted a little, like to Lisa's point, the stereotype regarding mental illness is rooted a bit in fact, right? You really might have someone acting in a way that makes others uncomfortable, it seems weird, but that doesn't automatically make it dangerous. So we have to really self-examine on that one, and that to me is the biggest challenge, probably that's going to face HR for the next 5 years, possibly.
That's very possible. And I think somewhere in their age has a thing to do with it, too, because as I get older, although I still look the same, right?
We all do.
Yeah, exactly. As I get older, people will sometimes, I was in a bad car accident 5 years ago, and 3/4 of my body was damaged, and I survived. And after that, people were saying, oh, you probably don't want to drive anymore. Or, oh, my gosh, people must think you're awful because, oh, it was just incredible. And a lot of it said because at your age, you know, your body doesn't heal very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and although the those of you listening may not know it, I'm a woman of color. I'm mixed race, and I'm a woman of color. And so that also came in at your age, and, I mean, you are this and that. And, you know, it's amazing because it automatically shows that there's some discrimination. Would you agree with that?
I mean, I think anytime people say something like that, it's clear that they have some assumptions and biases. And I guess the question is, you know, then it's a question of, is that acted upon? Is there actual discrimination? Is there differential treatment in light of those biases? And I think, you know, whenever we hear comments like that of people generalizing, people making statements that exhibit their bias, we, you know, it should shoot up a red flag for everyone, both listening and speaking of, you know, wait, what does that mean? Why did I just say that? But it is kind of how we organize our world. And, you know, in terms of, you know, we do, it, you know, it's just part of how our brains work in terms of classifying information. It's inevitable that we're going to have some assumptions and thoughts. And the issue becomes, how do we question those when we're acting upon them to ensure that they're really helping us and that they're really accurate, rather than, you know, kind of leaning us toward incorrect assumptions or treating people differently in an unlawful or unfair way.
Well, I'm going to go one step further and say something that might sound slightly crazy, but, you know,
go ahead.
No, people don't really want to acknowledge that in the workplace, when you go to work, you put on an outfit, and that outfit is Brenda Casper, professional, even, you know, mannered, equal treatment. You know, my personal preferences that I might go home late at night and eat, you know, a whole bucket of chocolate chip cookie dough, that is at home. At work, I'm a different person. I'm like a better person. I'm the better me. And that's really what we each owe everybody in the workplace. Like, you don't want to bring your real self to work. And I'm that drives people crazy when I say that, though, especially, you know, people who believe in authenticity and I need to be the me, the real me. Yeah, there's a place for authenticity, but if you're the authentic you and you're not bearable and you have bias and you can't control it, then that real you needs to stay home and you need to send the professional you. So that's the kind of self-searching I think people need to think about.
They need to do and think about. You're absolutely right. Oh, this has been so wonderful, ladies. And as those of you who are listening in, they did give you some information as to how you may be able to talk to them about perhaps issues that you've had around bias or some other areas. And they're more than welcome. They're more than ready to welcome your questions. And I do want to also mention that our leading lady next week is going to be Kaylee Green, and she's founder and creator of Zeal Concentric. So you may want to call in next week and see what her Zeal Concentric group is. Thank you all for calling in. Ladies, thank you for all your information. It's always great to talk to you. And I
you
hope
too,
to see
thank
you,
you.
Yes,
thank you.
You.
You're bye-bye.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
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 Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.